My life has dimension to it, length and breadth. The length is being myself. The breadth is having fun. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with Instant Inspiration. My life has dimension to it, length and breadth. The length is being myself, and the breadth is having fun. Most of the time we think of length and breadth as dimensions that are the width and the length of anything. And that's true. But what about our life? How long is our life? Do we live forever? Or do we live just a short time? Do we have only, like they say, the average life expectancy in America today is 77 years. And last year it was 75 years. So it's coming along. By the time I'm ready to do anything, life expectancy will probably be several hundred years. Sounds good, you know. But whatever. Okay. My life has dimension to it, length and breadth. Now, what does it mean to have dimension to our life? It means that we like ourselves, we enjoy ourselves, and we create a world in which we are happy. Why would anyone want to create a world in which they were not happy? They create a world in which they're not happy because they don't like themselves. Now, why would a person not like themselves? They don't like themselves because they have never really gotten to know who they really are. They think they're the person that their mothers and fathers raised and said, you've got to behave, you've got to do this, you've got to go to school, you have to go and get yourself a wonderful job, and you must do all these things. Now, go and kiss Aunt Louise, you know, and you like to do that as much as, you know, anything else. So, when you're having fun, you're being yourself. Now, we've watched little children playing in the sandbox, and they are just having a great time. They are doing all sorts of things very creatively. They build their sandcastles. They build their sand. And, you know, and a lot of adults are like that, too. When you go down to the beach, and adults are making sandcastles on the beach during the sandcastle contest that they have up at Venice Beach every year. And the sandcastle could be as big as this room here. It's really fantastic with spires and bridges and all sorts of things. And they make it by getting the seawater and dripping it on the sand and making these things. First, they have the general idea in their mind. And here these adults are playing games like that. And then another interesting game adults like to play is to take a chunk of ice and a chisel and create out of it a beautiful statuette. Now, unless you keep that inside of a cold place, it's going to melt. And every bit of effort that you put into it is going to be lost in a very short time because ice melts quite quickly in warm weather. Why would people do things like that? What makes that fun? And what makes that enjoyable? Well, the first thing that makes it enjoyable is if a person likes himself. When a person likes himself, they are not possessed by whatever they do. They can do anything they like to do and give it up. Just give it up when they're done. It doesn't bother them. It's like one little boy. He had a little truck and he was playing in the sand. And the friend came over and said, can I play with your truck? And the little boy said, sure. So he went in the house and got his other truck. And then the two played in the sand. And then another little neighbor boy came over and said, hey, I don't have a truck. Can I play with a truck? And the little boy said, sure, take mine. And so the other two boys were playing with the trucks, and this kid didn't have a truck to play with, but he was enjoying watching the others play with his trucks. And then the new boy, he says, hey, I got to go home. Time for me to have lunch. Can I take the truck with me? And he said, sure. Total non-possession. The ability to say, sure, not worry about it. He has other toys, no more trucks, because his friend has a truck and his truck, and this latter friend has his truck. So when he went in the house, his mother said to him, sweetheart, you've given away your trucks. Now, do you think that daddy's going to buy you some more trucks just because you want to give them away? He says, no. He says, I know that Daddy buys me these things and that I'm responsible for them. I know that. Well, why did you give it away? Because I wanted to. It made me happy. And the mother says, you can't argue with that, you know. You can't argue with that. The kid is happy. He's content. He's peaceful. So does he get another truck? Quite likely he does. But it was not with the idea of getting another truck that he gave it away. He gave it away because that was part of the sharing, part of the good feeling of interacting with his friends and having a good time with them. And the biggest thing is liking himself. Now, if I go up to any one of you and I say, can I borrow your nail file? And you say, sure, here's my nail file. And then I'm using it and I say, hey, this is a nice nail file, real super little nail file, great. Can I keep it? Then comes the test. Do you like yourself? What the hell difference does a little nail file of, you know, a couple dollars cost if somebody wants it and you want to give it? You know what? But your emotions, that's my nail file. My mother gave it to me. My boyfriend, my girlfriend gave it to me. My auntie gave it to me. And my aunt will say, where's that nail file I gave you? You know, and you're all worried about that stuff, but it belongs to you. And you're perfectly free to do as you wish with anything in your life. And if you don't do it, then you are possessed. Then you are not a happy person. Then you're not a person who has a life that has breadth and dimension to it. You have a life that is in a little hole, in a rut, that is owned and possessed by the things that you're doing. When we can learn to be very giving, very, very giving, our whole world changes. When Ellen first met me, I came to Europe and I spoke in seminars in different locations, and she attended these seminars, and she saw all these ritzy people attending the seminars, and she thought, boy, he's only after money. He is only out for money. He wants money, money, money. And so then Ellen found out I really wasn't at all interested in money. I wore my sandals and my short pants and short sleeves shirt and so on, and here giving seminars to these ritzy people on concepts. And they came back again and again and again, year after year, all liking it. And then Ellen said one time, now, here are some things I want you to have for the university. I want you to have them. And they were very valuable. And so I said, well, put them in a drawer there. So she put them in a drawer. And 2 years later, she came back and she said, did you ever do anything with that stuff? You know? And I said, no, it's still in the drawer there. Well, why didn't you use it? Well, I don't need it. I always have enough to take care of whatever things I want to do, whatever things I choose to do. But that's valuable, you know. And you see, when you're possessed by things, you never have enough to take care of anything. And people get the idea that, you know, you're possessed by things. They get the idea that you're after wealth, that you're after these things. And when you're after these things, what happens? You don't get them. The moment you start chasing any dream, you lose it. The moment you chase any dream at all, you lose it. So there. Now, what am I saying, Ellen? The moment you chase any dream, you lose it.
If you want it.
If you need it.
But what is the reverse of that?
The possession of it.
What's the reverse of that?
I have it.
I have it.
Okay.
I have it.
It's done.
If you can live in the consciousness that you have all the things that are important for you to have, then there's no possession. Then there's no desire for things because you have it. And you truly do have it. You truly do have all of the wonderful things that make your life fulfilling and rich and rewarding. We have experiences every day here on campus where people don't pay for their courses, you know, where people don't do the things that they have agreed to do, where people are irresponsible and unreasonable in being human beings. But every day we also have people who go the second mile, people who generously give to us, generously work with us, generously help us. Now, we have one of our students in Africa, in...
Nigeria. No, in Ghana.
In Ghana. In what's the name of the city? Sikonde?
Sikonde.
Sikonde. And he's a nice guy. He had been a former superintendent of schools there, and a very competent person, very wonderful. And he did the first courses, and he was given his degrees and so forth. And then he writes us a letter, and he says, I have this student, you know, $400,000, and he's given $400,000, which, of course, are Guyanan dollars, which are probably like 50 cents or something like that, you know. It sounds awful good. And he has given this, but for him, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And he has given this, and he wants to take the course, and he's just totally excited about taking the course. Totally excited about it. And we had another, and we didn't know how this would come about. And oh, and also he says, I have put the money in the bank account I have here for the school. And we didn't know he had a bank account for the school, you know. And then over in Nigeria, our students there, they took their entire villa. It's a big, beautiful house with a big wall around it and everything. And all their neighbors, their brothers and sisters and so forth live outside the wall. And they live inside. And on the outside of the wall, they put the name
Villa God Unlimited.
Villa God Unlimited, because they're going to be operating the school from that location. And so what happens? People just come charging into their place. They want to be part of it. We spoke at a couple dozen places all over Nigeria, and they would drive us from one place to another place. In one day, we'd speak in maybe about five or six places, and it'd take 2 hours to drive between each place. That was quite a strenuous program, but we enjoyed it. But this lady is so wonderful, Seville. She invited us to her home. She took care of us. She made sure that everything was perfect for us. She drove us. We didn't have to pay 1 cent, and she gave us money at the end of it, which was great, you know, opening up the school. And then her husband, who is a doctor of pharmaceutical sciences, he is retiring, and he did retire, and he wants to take the course too.
He has already.
Retired?
Taken the course, yes.
I'm telling the story. So he retired, and he started to take the course, and now whenever his wife sends a lesson in, he sends a lesson in at the same time. And they are both so thrilled. Their lives are changed. Their worlds are changed. Now, life has dimension and breadth to it when you just give of yourself freely. And it comes back. It comes back. We may not have the place here that looks like the Taj Mahal, but we've got its brother. You know? This is a beautiful place here. We just had the ground swept by a special chopper, chopping down the big old weeds, the big old brush, and we have yet to organize it. And the pool's getting organized. And this is, now, it takes poor people to live like that, doesn't it? It takes real poor people to live like that. And our good just keeps coming and coming and coming because we keep living it and we keep giving. And we give without any hesitation. Without any hesitation. Ellen is probably one of the meanest ladies you have ever met in your entire life. We go down to Guyana in South America and Ghana, and we go down to Nigeria. And as we go to these places, everybody runs up to us. I want to take your course. I want to take your course. And Ellen says, no. She says, no to him. She says, you must read the syllabus first to make sure it's what you want to do. And they say, I agree, you know, my brother's in it, my aunt's in it. And so, no, you have to read it. You have to approve it. And you have to look at the gist to make sure that this philosophy is what you want to follow. Because we don't just want people, names on our group. We want people who are actually following this type of philosophy. And so, little by little, they come through. Little by little, they come through in a beautiful way. We were speaking at one very wealthy house in Ghana, in Accra, and there were about seven or eight young people there in their teens, and lovely dressed and you know, really intelligent people. And we said, Ellen said her thing about, you know, you can only sign up if you can, you know, follow this philosophy, that's what you really want. And they all came up to us and said, we can afford it. We will give you cash, and we want the program. And you see, when you chase after it, it runs away from you. But when you stand up for the principle that you don't want people taking the course just to take the course, you want them to take the course because it wants to mean something to them. Now, it's hard. It's hard when you really want to get out there and you want to get the numbers, you know. Like so many organizations, they like numbers. And numbers are just fine. I'm not knocking numbers in the slightest. But when you go in the right way, you get numbers that count. You get people who really want what you have to share. And that is the wonderful thing about it. A lot of people come to me and they are Catholics and they're Protestants and they're Muslims and they're all these different faiths, Hindus, and they say, we want to take your course. And I say, no. What is your faith? Well, I'm a Muslim. Now, you be the best Muslim that you can. You study your Muslim philosophy because that's what you're raised in. You study it and understand it. And when you understand it, then if you want to change then, that's fine. But up until that point, you know what it is that you're doing. And we have a lot of priests and nuns and Jewish. Rabbis and what?
Jewish people.
Jewish people, yeah. And people of all different faiths taking our program because they have made the decision. Because you don't have to change your religion to be this. You just change your attitude about yourself to love yourself and to know who you really are. Your life has the length and breadth to it, the real dimension. And the length is being myself and the breadth is having fun. So, with that, I say, go for it and have a ball. Life is ready just for you if you are ready to be yourself and have fun and not follow somebody else's rainbow, but follow your own. I love you. I love you. I love you.